What's up, Eagle Country? Thank you so much for tuning in to another edition of Crunch Time presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. You can go online to schedule your next appointment or learn more at OrthoSensi.com. That's OrthoCINCY.com. And wait for the pep band to finish off there. I'm your host, Double T, Travis there. Plenty to get to on the show tonight, Monday, October 25th. We are in the midst of the playoffs in several fall sports. Of course, we're going to talk at length about some of the high school football results from this past Friday, looking ahead to the sectional semifinal matchups and maybe previewing some potential sectional championship games as well. But boys tennis is rolling on here in the state of Indiana. Well, finished over the weekend with the state championship. We're going to talk about the Ohio High School State Golf Championship. We had one area team compete at the volleyball regional over the weekend, and cross-country semi-state happened over the weekend as well. I want to start with boys tennis. A young man from Franklin County by the name of Jack Stern entered the state championship over the weekend, the semifinals on Saturday, 18-0 on the season. Unfortunately for Jack, his season would end in the semifinals, losing 6-1, 6-1 to West Lafayette's Aiden William. No reason to hang your head, though, if you're Jack Stern. What a incredible season it was for him. Great run to the Final Four, and was defeated by the eventual state champion. So I guess if you're going to lose that close to the state championship, you want to lose to the guy that's going to win the whole thing, right? So congrats to Jack Stern. A great career, a senior, going to be graduating in the spring. Good luck wherever life takes you next. Presumably a college to continue your playing career. That would be awesome to see for young Jack Stern. Excuse me. On to our next topic here tonight. I wanted to touch a little bit on the Ohio High School State Golf Championship. A youngster from Harrison, just a sophomore, Jack Ward, became the third Wildcat in school history to compete at the state championship. And he had a heck of a performance. Rounds of 84 and 78 on the Scarlet course at The Ohio State University over the weekend. Ward finished 37th out of 72 golfers. Mind you, again, he's just a sophomore. So a great first appearance at the state finals. Hopefully he can make it a couple more times and climb that leaderboard even further. So a pretty remarkable performance in his first go around at the state finals. Excited to see what Jack's going to do in the future, and already looks like that Hitting Henry's indoor golf facility that they have at Harrison High School is already paying dividends for some of the young golfers there. That is a facility that not only do the boys use, the girls use it as well do the middle schoolers. So I can see a lot of youngsters from Harrison, both on the boys and girls side, having some great careers and going to state championships in the future because of that facility. They're able to get in there and strike the ball, work on some stuff, even when it's cold and snowing and whatever out. So that is certainly a helpful thing for all those young individuals at Harrison. But congratulations to Jack Ward on a nice showing at the state golf championship. Real quick on volleyball, we had South Ripley competing at the regional at Mitchell over the weekend, ran into Linton Stockton in the first round. It was Linton Stockton winning 3-1. Pretty close match here all around, though. Linton Stockton won the first set 25-17. It was 25-22. South Ripley gets the third set, and then 25-23 in the final set to end South Ripley's season. They finished the season 22-11, did win the ORVC going undefeated, and of course won the sectional championship. So a great season yet again for South Ripley. They have been very, very good in the ORVC and have been a stalwart in that sectional for the past several years. So we'll see if that continues. They do have a good senior class that is going to be moving on, but I'm sure they're just going to rebuild out there at South Ripley as volleyball has become one of the strong sports across the board with their athletics. All right, on to the cross-country semi-state at Shelbyville. Plenty of individuals to recognize from Eagle Country. Now, first off, on the boys' side, the Batesville Bulldogs did make it to the semi-state as a team. They would end up finishing 16th out of 20 teams. Their average time was 17:28. Was Benjamin Moster, who was the top overall finisher from anybody in the Eagle Country area. His score was 32, had a time of 16 minutes, 20 seconds. Ian Leuchinger, also from Batesville, he has scored a 63. Peyton Merica from Rising Sun, just a junior, probably going to see him back at the semi-state level next year, if not even beyond, scored an 85, as did Jacksonville's Joshua Pulley. Darren Smith out of Batesville, a score of 93. Benjamin Reilly, just a sophomore from Milan, scored a 96. Batesville freshman Jacob Chapman scored a 103, as did East Central senior Michael Schwiebach. Cole Benegas for East Central, just a junior, scored a 104. Had Kyler Dalton from Batesville scoring a 129. Eli Leuchinger from Batesville, a 134. And then Will Newering from Batesville rounding out the scores with a 135. Those were the individuals from Eagle Country competing at the semi-state. Unfortunately, don't believe anybody from the Eagle Country area has moved on to the state finals. We do have a couple of young ladies from the area that will move on to the state finals. We'll get to that in just a moment. First, I want to run down the team scores. Batesville and East Central both competed as a team at the semi-state level. Batesville finished 8th out of 20 teams. They were very close to moving on as a team to the state finals. East Central finishing 16th, but it was EC's Rachel Campbell, who has been a standout all year long, finishing with a score of 14, and she is going to move on to state, just a junior. And then Lainey Nicholson out of South Ripley, she scored 15. She's going to be moving on to state as well. Some of the other top performers from Eagle Country at the semi-state and cross-country. How about this? Kaylin Beadle, freshman from Batesville, scored a 26, a time of 19:34, just on the outside looking in to making it to the state finals. But as a freshman, she's going to have plenty more opportunities to get to that state level. Her teammate, Lily Pinkley, she had a score of 48. Ava Hansen, just a junior from Batesville, scored 52. Batesville's Megan Allgaier, she's a sophomore, scored a 56. Freshman from East Central, Adeline Brewer, scoring a 60 at the semi-state. Batesville senior Maria Lopez scored a 63. And Batesville junior Sophie Myers scoring a 65. I also had Jocelyn Enderhees and Faith Henderson scoring an 86 and a 100, respectively, for East Central. And to round out some of the local runners, Deborah Murphy scored a 121. She's from South Ripley, while sophomore Kendall Flume from East Central scored a 129. So congratulations to everybody, cross-country runners from the area making it to the semi-state level. And again, Rachel Campbell and Lainey Nicholson for moving on to the state finals. We will certainly let you know how they perform next Monday on Crunch Time, which is again presented by OrthoSensi Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries. We also are planning to have some great guests here in the near future. Of course, we're hoping to have a couple of football teams advance and win the sectional, go on to the regional. And if that does happen, we'll try to get those teams in to celebrate their sectional championship. We also have basketball season right around the corner, in particular girls basketball. So we do have some teams lined up for future episodes to come in and talk about their season. So definitely be on the lookout for those announcements. Before we get into some more high school football, I do actually want to mention a high school football story. I think everybody has probably seen this video by now. If you haven't, go over to EagleCountryOnline.com. But a viral video from Friday as East Central kicked off sectional first round against Greenwood at home. And Sam Ringer breaking the internet, apparently. And, well, he also broke a gajillion tackles on his way to an 85-yard kickoff return touchdown that got him nominated for top plays for Friday, October 22nd by CBS Sports HQ. He was nominated alongside two NBA players, Chicago Bulls guard Alex Caruso and Cleveland Cavaliers center Jarrett Allen. I believe they had a couple of sweet dunks that were up for top play, but neither one could muster any type of momentum in the voting, as Sam ran away with it, 94% of the vote, as he gets the top play from Friday across the country. And just to kind of break down this video, if you haven't seen it already, it was an 85-yarder. Sam fields the ball at the 15-yard line. By the time he gets to the 30, he'd already gained 15 yards. Easy math, right? That's when he first starts to get some contact from the Greenwood defenders. And from the 30 to the 50, he pretty much is just bowling through these kids, breaking tackle after tackle. Of course, he's got some support from his special teams, keeping him upright, kind of pushing the pile along. And then once he breaks the 50-yard line, he breaks one last tackle, a shoestring try from one of the Greenwood defenders, and then Sam able to outrun the rest of the Greenwood defenders for the 85-yard touchdown. So a really impressive run. Just kind of shows the grit and determination of young Sam Ringer. So, again, awesome job, Sam. Awesome job, East Central, on a nice win over Greenwood. We're going to talk a little bit more about that as the show rolls on. But do yourself a favor. If you haven't seen the video, go to EagleCountryOnline.com and check it out. And if you're like me, you'll probably watch it more than once because it was just that awesome to watch. And couldn't happen to a nicer kid. Got a chance to chat with Sam a little bit earlier this season. East Central coming in with their four senior captains, which he is one of. And he's just a real, real nice kid and a great football player as well, helping East Central to the point in the season that they're at right now. And they'll need him to come up big again this coming Friday when they take on Mooresville. Again, this is going to be something we're going to get into a little bit later on in the show. All right. Before we get to high school football in full, need to congratulate Rising Sun and South Dearborn's cheerleading squads because they are going to be going to the state finals. And we do just have a story posted over at EagleCountryOnline.com from earlier on this afternoon. And these two teams were among many teams to compete at the Indiana State Varsity Prelims at North Central High School in Indianapolis over the weekend. Both schools obviously performing well enough to advance to the cheerleading state finals. Had to place in the top 60% in each of their divisions. Teams were judged in several different categories. Cheer, jumps, stunts, transitions, tumbling, and dance. Probably pretty similar to what you see at the Rivertown Classic each and every year. But for Rising Sun, this is the first time in school history that they have advanced to the state finals. So obviously a big accomplishment for the Shiners, who are led by Coach Heather Cook, who once upon a time actually took South Dearborn to their first state finals back in 2013. So she has been a very influential person and coach for cheerleading here in the area, helping both of those schools' programs along. And South Dearborn, the beat kind of goes on for them. This is something they've become accustomed to, going to that state finals, or at least striving to get there. So Rising Sun, South Dearborn, going to compete at that state finals Saturday, November 6th. It will take place at Newcastle High School. And we wish both teams the best of luck. If you want to read a little bit more, head over to EagleCountryOnline.com. All right, so how about our high school football roundup sectional first round games this past Friday? We were out at Madison for a Class 4A Sectional 23 first round matchup with the Madison Cubs hosting the South Dearborn Knights. And I said this a little bit earlier during drive time. We thought this had a chance to be a really great game. If you go back to week two of the season, Madison came from behind, 12-point deficit, to win 29-26, but that was week two, and we're now into late October, and South Dearborn, a much different team than they were in week two, and they put it on Madison, avenging that week two loss 54-0 to advance to the semifinals. They will take on Martinsville, who was a 33-13 winner over a pretty good Silver Creek team. That was maybe the most intriguing matchup, actually, in the first round in this particular sectional. East Central, as we mentioned, 44-14 winner over Greenwood. They'll move on to play Mooresville, who blanked Jennings County 68-0. I want to get back to that South Dearborn game and talk about that a little bit more in depth. I mean, my goodness, you go back to August 27th, South Dearborn blows the 12-point lead, loses by three in a 57-point turnaround with the 54-0 win. That is absolutely incredible. Just goes to show you how much a team can grow from the beginning of the season to now. South Dearborn, very much a different team, and have a different quarterback nowadays as well, as they turned it over to Adam Kunkel about halfway through the season, and the super sophomore has been leading this offense and has been very explosive at times. Adam Kunkel had a great game, his first postseason game, going 16-27, 286 yards, 5 touchdowns. Did have an interception, but I think when you win 54-0 and you threw 5 touchdowns, you can kind of just throw that INT out the door and forget about it a little bit. But defensively, look at what South Dearborn did between these two games. They went from allowing 247 yards of offense in the first meeting against Madison to only allowing 41 yards on Friday. Madison couldn't get anything going on the ground or in the air. They had negative 7 rushing yards. So this South Dearborn team, we knew they were going to be fired up playing Madison again, knowing how they lost the first time around. And sometimes that can be the difference. You play with a lot of fire, remembering a certain game. I've experienced it myself, my high school career back in the day playing basketball. In particular, one game that stands out to me was losing very badly to Greensburg the first game of the year, by 20 plus points, and then turning around and beating them by 20 plus points the next time we played. So, some things can kind of stick in your mind and motivate you, more so than, anything else, and I think that's what happened with South Dearborn on Friday. What a game it was. C.J. Rogers, the beat goes on. He continues to be one of the top rushers in the state. 16 carries, 171 yards, had a touchdown in the game. Justin McGraw, who has become one of the top, I'd say, three targets for Kunkel, four receptions for 103 yards. Their leading receiver, Reese Willoughby, making some plays down the field with two touchdowns. Austin Ballard has really showed out this year as a threat down the field. He and Isaiah Otto catching touchdowns, as did C.J. Rogers out of the backfield. So just a complete performance for South Dearborn. I think if you look at this game, the maybe one negative that they had was maybe too many penalties. That's going to be something they'll want to get cleaned up as they go on the road to play a pretty good Martinsville team, which if you look at the Sagarin ratings over at the John Harrell site, you're going to find that Martinsville is going to be the favored team. They're third in the Sagarin in this sectional behind Mooresville and East Central. So the prediction is going to lend its way in the favor of Martinsville, but I think this is a game that South Dearborn not only can be very competitive in, but can actually go up there on the road and win and advance to the sectional championship, and they got to be feeling good about themselves after the win over Madison on Friday. Speaking of that Martinsville team, want to take a look at them very briefly and talk a little bit about this matchup coming up on Friday. They have a very good quarterback who has thrown for 2,182 yards, a kid by the name of Tyler Adkins. He's thrown 26 touchdowns, but if you look at the statistic line, 14 interceptions, and that is something South Dearborn is very good at. They have 14 interceptions themselves this year, so just based on the stats, looking at a little bit of film from Martinsville, we know that this Tyler Adkins kid is going to sling the ball around, and South Dearborn's got some ball-hawking defensive backs. Drew Probst, Ryan Willoughby, McHenry, Cassidy, all these guys can take the ball from you and take it the other way. They kind of have a running back by committee, so that can be maybe something South Dearborn exploits, kind of shut down their run game, get them into obvious passing downs, and take the ball away as they've done to teams all year long. Martinsville does average about 30 points per game, but they give up close to 30 a game. So maybe this is another opportunity for South Dearborn to light up the scoreboard as well. I will say this about Martinsville. They do play a little bit tougher schedule, I think you could say, with several 5A schools, one 6A school on their schedule. They've lost to Bloomington South, Decatur Central, Mooresville, and Plainfield. Those are all a very solid team. But, as I mentioned, Martinsville, the third best team in the sectional. According to the Sagarin ratings, the Herald prediction is Martinsville 38, South Dearborn 24. I think it's got a chance to be closer than that. South Dearborn, strong running game. Kunkel has shown that he is efficient as a quarterback. He's got playmakers down the field, and South Dearborn is plus 9 in the turnover category this year, so that's going to be a big key on Friday, and we wish South Dearborn the best of luck as they look to punch their ticket to the sectional championship and perhaps another meetup with the East Central Trojans, who took care of Greenwood on Friday, 44-14, behind some big explosive plays. We already talked about the Sam Ringer kickoff return touchdown. Eli Aston kind of put the nail in the coffin in this game with a 76-yard punt return. So East Central special teams, that is something that's very important once you get into the playoffs. Cole Burton continues to be highly efficient for this team. 8 of 12, 123 yards, 3 touchdowns through the air. Nate Busing made a beautiful catch in the back of the end zone. You can find that on social media. Ryan Brotherton has really stepped up this year in the absence of Josh Ringer, who's actually back now. So when you combine Eli Aston with Nate Busing, Ryan Brotherton, three big-time playmakers for Burton to get the ball to down the field. You welcome back your star running back. You hope that he can get back to his old self in this game against Mooresville upcoming. He did have, looks like, just over 100 yards from the line of scrimmage over the weekend with running and receiving involved. So they kind of work Josh back into the game a little bit as he is coming back from a pretty serious ankle injury that kept him out pretty much all the regular season. He was injured in that game we called against Harrison all the way back in week 2. So glad to see Josh Ringer back, and he is certainly a kid that can help propel this Trojans team into a deep run. But the defense is also going to be something that they need to continue to be very, very strong, as it always is with East Central. They held Greenwood to 157 total yards. We've seen them flying around, playing fast this year, maybe a little bit different defense than they've had in years past, maybe not as stocky, I would say, but they are very, very fast, and they have a great secondary, and that is going to be key when they go to play Mooresville on Friday. So let's jump into this matchup a little bit, maybe the biggest matchup in the state, and a lot of people kind of circled this game as the potential sectional championship in this particular sectional, but they get grouped on the same side of the bracket, so we're going to get number 5 EC, number 6 Mooresville on Friday in the semifinals. We will be there to call this action. Or at least that's the plan. We have applied for that game with the IHSAA, so we hope to be at Mooresville High School on Friday to bring you full coverage of this game. But recent history not been too kind for East Central in this particular game, losing to Mooresville in the semifinals last year, 36-28. It was a 17-14 loss in the sectional championship the year prior. I don't think I have to say those scores for the folks in St. Leon. I'm sure they are well aware and kind of sick of hearing about it, but this is a chance to go up there and avenge those two losses. They will have to deal with a dynamic quarterback in Nick Patterson, who is among the tops in the state of Indiana. He is second in the state in passing yards with 2,740 yards. He's got 35 touchdowns, 6 interceptions on the year. Logan Jackson, John Clampett have combined for over 1,500 yards through the air and 21 touchdowns, but they have 5 receivers with 300 or more yards. So this is definitely a team that wants to spread you out. I was watching some Nick Patterson highlights before I went on the air, and this is a kid that is just a junior quarterback, but very, very comfortable in the pocket. A lot of designed rollouts, showing a strong arm, not only from the pocket, but outside of the pocket, moving to his left, moving to his right, a lot of RPO, run pass option. He gets the ball out quick. So this is going to be a challenge for East Central, but I said they have a very good defense, very fast, good secondary, which is what you're going to need to beat Mooresville, because they are going to spread you out and sling it around. They do have a capable running back in Gideon Brimage. He's averaging about 6 yards per carry. Mooresville, just in general, their offense, 5th in the state in scoring, 48 points per game. EC not far behind at 40 points per game. EC does have the better scoring defense, and as I mentioned, special teams could be big in this game. We've seen Eli Aston be very explosive in the kick game. Saw that week one against Lawrenceburg. It continued into last week against Greenwood. Sam Ringer with what he did on kickoff. Special teams, it's big. You can't deny that it's not big in big football games. So that's something I'll be looking at very, very closely. These two teams only have one common opponent between them. That would be Greenwood. Mooresville took them down 70-14 in week 4. East Central hanging 44 on them last week. But again, similar to South Dearborn, Greenwood, a much different team now than they were back in week 4, so I don't know that you look too much into that score. One score that I do look at is East Central hanging tough with Ron Colley that last week of the regular season. That's number 1 team in the state, defending state champions as well, so I think East Central knows that they can hang with anybody in the state. Mooresville, I think they know that they can hang with anybody in the state as well. You don't get those numbers next to your name and not be able to hang with those good teams. So number 5 versus number 6, expecting to be a close one again this year. Again, I like to look at the Harold predictions just because it's fun to think about. Mooresville 38, East Central 31 right now. So a little bit more fuel to the fire for the Trojans, who have lost this matchup 2 times in a row and are, I guess, favored to lose it again. But this is not going to be a game where it's going to be very difficult to get up for. East Central is going to be primed and ready, and we can't wait to see this game on Friday. Now, based on the predictions, none of our area teams would advance past this sectional, but if East Central and South Dearborn were to win, East Central would host the Knights next Friday in the sectional championship. If South Dearborn wins, East Central loses. South Dearborn would host Mooresville. If East Central wins and South Dearborn loses, East Central would be at home against Martinsville in the sectional championship. Want to talk about Class 3A Sectional 31. Brownstown Central remaining undefeated, 41-0, defeating Scottsburg on Friday. Batesville, 48-26 winner over Rushville. So you got Brownstown Central and Batesville on one half of the bracket. Greensburg knocking off Charlestown, 24-21. And Lawrenceburg, another blowout win over Franklin County, 49-14. Setting up the Greensburg-Lawrenceburg matchup in the semifinals. Those Those two teams did not get to play in the regular season due to a COVID issue at Greensburg earlier in the season. Quickly, Brownstown Central, I think everybody knows about them. They're one of the favorites in this sectional, along with Lawrenceburg, 341 rush yards in that first sectional game, but negative one passing yards. We know what they are. They're going to run the ball at you with the single wing attack. They got 16 contributing seniors back from last season, so very seasoned team. Gave up only 63 yards total offense to Scottsburg, so their defense is showing to be pretty good this year, but 43.2 points per game when you know that they're going to run it at you. This is just something that Reed May and his team have been able to do for a long, long time. Greensburg, they were able to get past Charlestown. I don't want to take anything away from their performance, but Charlestown did play without their sophomore quarterback, Clay McClellan, who has 1,200 passing yards, almost 800 rushing yards, and 23 touchdowns. 9 turnovers total in this game. Greensburg winning despite 3 turnovers, but they picked off Charlestown 4 times and forced 2 fumbles as well. They'll move on to play Lawrenceburg, who was again dominant over Franklin County. They defeated them 41-0 back in September. The first time around, Franklin County played without some of their top players, Jacob Schatzel, their most electric player, Braden Back, one of their top linemen, and Bridger Bolos, their running back, was injured in that game about the midway point, but Franklin County played a little bit better this time around. They only had 61 total yards the first time around. They added 100 to that this time around and scored 2 touchdowns. But Lawrenceburg, their offense was better this time around as with 473 yards total offense. Garrett Yude has been on absolute fire here as of late. 18-27, 257 yards, 3 touchdowns, another 85 yards on the ground, rushing touchdown. Dia Patel, big game, 9 receptions, 162 yards, and 2 touchdowns. So Lawrenceburg, number 5 team in 3A, among the top scoring teams in the state, averaging nearly 48 points per game. That is 7th best in the entire state of Indiana. And while the offense a lot of times gets a lot of the headlines for Lawrenceburg, their defense has been absolutely awesome this year, only allowing 13 points per game. They forced 4 turnovers against Franklin County on Friday, so do not sleep on the Tigers' defense. They have been very, very impressive this year. So you have Brownstown Central at Batesville, Lawrenceburg at Greensburg. I think everyone's kind of looking ahead to seeing a potential Brownstown Central Lawrenceburg championship game, and if those two teams win, the Tigers would host the sectional championship, as they're both going to be on the road, but Lawrenceburg's on the bottom half of the bracket, so that's who would get to host. That's just the way it's set up with the IHSAA. Also want to say congratulations to Milan moving on in a Class 1A sectional 47-40 win over Oldenburg. They're going to play North Decatur in the second round, who beat South Decatur 58-19. Try was a 53-6 winner over Hagerstown, and Knightstown moved on via forfeit. Not exactly sure what happened there. It might have been COVID-related. I'm not actually 100% sure, but Try's got the best record in this sectional. Knightstown's won 1 game. Try should get through them and go to the sectional final, but Milan North Decatur, that has become one of the best rivalries in the region over the past few years. North Decatur has had Milan's number in the sectional, 6-0 in the title game last year and 21-20 in the title game the year before. Milan did beat North Decatur 21-0 in the regular season last year. Now, Milan went independent this year. The Mid-Indiana Conference decided to disband. Milan has played a little bit tougher schedule. Has played more 3A teams. They've played some more good 2A teams. And they've taken some lumps on their schedule this year, but that is all kind of planned out. That's to help them build on winning a sectional. That's Ryan Langfurman, the coach, he said it at the beginning of the year. That's exactly what they're trying to do, is win the sectional. That is their primary goal. They don't have a conference to win, so they put together this schedule in hopes that it is going to get them ready for sectional play. And we'll see if they've had some great lessons learned from some of those games against Batesville and Lawrenceburg and Madison, Providence, Eastern Hancock, among others. But the Herald prediction, North Decatur 31, Milan 21. So that's telling you North Decatur going to maybe continue to get Milan's number. But this is a big-time matchup, rivalry game. Milan's going to be on the road. They would like nothing more than to knock out North Decatur and move on to the championship game. If it is indeed against Try, they will be away. So a very tough road ahead for Milan to try and win the sectional championship. All right, want to get to Double T's Takes, and this will end the show. It's Crunch Time presented by OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine. You knew I was going to do this. Who they think gonna beat them Bengals? What a win yesterday, 41-17 on the road in Baltimore. Got some quick takes. You can just go ahead and give Ja'Marr Chase the rookie of the year right now. 8 receptions, 201 yards, touchdown. He's got 35 receptions for 754 yards and 6 touchdowns already. He might want to just go ahead and put him on the Pro Bowl team too. He's second in yards, first in yards per catch, and fourth in touchdowns. He's absolutely transformed the Bengals offense. Don't want to hear Penei Sewell's name ever again. Defense keeps rolling. 5 sacks, that's the most Lamar Jackson has ever been sacked in his career. Trey Hendrickson signing is looking to pay off big time, as he's already got 6 sacks this year. You can throw in Hilton and Awuzie and Ogunjobi. These guys have been absolutely awesome for the Bengals. They pressed all the right buttons in the offseason with their signings and who they selected in the draft, and it's about time that this team gets taken seriously, because they just knocked off Baltimore in their backyard. They had won 5 games in a row and were being treated like they were the best team in the AFC, and the Bengals absolutely blitzed them and destroyed them yesterday. Just feels a whole lot different watching this team. It's not your dad's Bengals or your grandpap's Bengals. It's a whole different feel with Zach Taylor leading the charge, Joe Burrow. I think Zach Taylor is the guy, to be quite honest. A lot of people wanted him gone after 2 horrible seasons with a not-so-great roster. But I don't know. I think the guys really enjoy playing for him, and he's getting the best out of them. And they're now 5-2, top of the AFC North. They're at the top of the AFC in general. They would be the number one seed if the playoffs started today. They get the New York Jets next week. Let's be quite honest, that should be a win, even on the road. Give the Bengals 6-2 with a win against the Jets, and are you really trying to tell me that they won't win at least 4 more games to get to 10? That's usually the magic number that gets you in the playoffs. You don't think that they can't find 4 more wins on their schedule? I don't know. Just looks like a playoff team to me right now. I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves, but it's fun watching the Bengals. They look the part right now, and I hope they keep it rolling. Also, real quick, World Series starts tomorrow. Got the Astros and the Braves, and I was looking for some local ties. There's actually some Reds ties with these two teams. Obviously, for the Astros, their manager's Dusty Baker. He was here managing the Reds from 2008 to 2013. During those 6 seasons, he did lead them to 3 playoff berths, including 2 National League Central Championships. However, the Reds failed to win a playoff series under Baker, including the 2012 NLDS against the Giants. Reds were up 2-0. They had 3 games at home. They only had to win 1. I was actually at Game 3 that year. Homer Bailey pitched the game of his life outside of his 2 no-hitters, and the Reds didn't score him any runs. I'll never forget that. They blew a golden opportunity. Who knows? They maybe would have went all the way that year. For the Braves, former Reds outfielder Adam Duvall filling in center field for the injured Ronald Acuna Jr. And, the Braves had a 2% chance of making the playoffs when Acuna tore his ACL earlier this season. Duvall, acquired at the trade deadline, playing like his typical self, 226 hitter. He's going to strike out a bunch, but he's hit 38 home runs this year and 113 RBIs, 16 of those homers coming with the Braves. So take your pick, maybe root for Duvall and the Braves, Dusty and the Astros. I know it's hard to root for the Astros considering the whole scandal a couple years ago. Beyond that, man, Dusty's had a lot of tries and has never won the World Series. I think it'd be cool to see him win one, and doing it in Atlanta. Used to play there. He was on deck when Hank Aaron hit the record-breaking home run. So kind of a full circle moment for Dusty. We'll see. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. There's some ties there if you're a baseball fan and want to find a rooting interest. I'm trying to give you one. Appreciate you listening to the show tonight. Another thanks to our sponsor, OrthoCincy Orthopedics and Sports Medicine, the orthopedic authority for work, sports, and everyday injuries here in Lawrenceburg and throughout the tri-state. You can learn more at OrthoCincy.com. What do you say we do this again next Monday, 6 to 6:30? It'll be crunch time right here on your hometown radio station, Eagle Country 99.3.